Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to think his repentance is sincere. I really would, because then it would feel like he actually deserves forgiveness. I'm talking about the younger son in the story we just heard, the one we often call the prodigal. It's a strange thing to call someone when you think about it, and while many of us may recognize the name, after all, the prodigal son is one of Jesus' most famous stories, few of us may remember exactly what it means. Essentially, prodigal means reckless, extravagant, wasteful, and it totally captures this younger son right up to the end. Maybe it will help to back up a little bit, to retell the story briefly, because whether you know the story well or this is the first time you're hearing it, there is a lot packed into this relatively short story. Now, Jesus tells it because some of the more religious folks of his day can't quite believe who he's hanging out with. St. Luke names these people sinners. And by that, he means people whose behavior was so outrageously bad that the whole community knew about it. And the religious leaders around Jesus are rather horrified that he is socializing with them. And so Jesus tells a couple of short stories, parables, concluding with this one about a man who had two sons. It goes like this. One day, the younger son comes and asks for his inheritance, which is a little shocking because you don't typically receive your inheritance until someone dies. Moreover, to grant his son's wish, the father has to divide and sell half of his property, which was no easier to do back then than it would be today. And then the son first takes the money and then takes off, getting as far away from his family as he can. And then comes the prodigal part, because in short order, he wastes all of that money, and he's flat broke. And then a famine comes, and suddenly he is caught between a rock and a hard place. And the only work he can find in this distant land is feeding pigs, which is kind of humiliating in general, but especially for a Jewish kid, as pigs were considered filthy, unclean animals that Jews were forbidden to eat. And as he's sitting there, all bummed out and ready to feast on the slop he's given to the pigs, it occurs to him that the poorest of his father's employees are, right at that very moment, eating better than he is. And so he decides to go to his father, admit his mistake, repent, and ask for forgiveness. And I would like to believe he's sincere. I really would, but I'm not so sure. For most of my life, you see, when I got to this part of the story, I assumed the son is being genuine. He recognizes what an obnoxious, ungrateful punk he's been, and so he apologizes. When you read it this way, the story goes like this. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I know what I'll do. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But a few years ago, I saw a painting that portrayed this moment when he comes to himself, as St. Luke describes, and the artist doesn't sketch him as remorseful and sad, but instead as conniving and scheming. Like maybe he realizes his old man is kind of a sucker. And money, he already sold half of his property so he could grant his son's outlandish request. So maybe the kid figures he can con his way back into his father's good graces. Read this way, it sounds a little different. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, starving. I know what I'll do. I'll get up and I'll go to my father and I'll say to him, Oh, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please just treat me like one of your hired servants. Then he got up, set off, and went to his father. To be honest, I don't like that interpretation at all. But I have a hunch it's right. Did you notice when the prodigal son has his awakening and talks to himself? How many of my father's hired hands? I'll go to my father and say. In literary terms, that's called internal dialogue, when the author shares the thoughts of one of the characters with the readers. While we're used to that happening all the time in the books that we read, in the ancient world, it is incredibly rare. As in, it only occurs 7 times across all 4 Gospels. And every other place it happens, it reveals a gap, a moral gap, between how the character is acting outwardly and thinking inwardly. In short, it reveals that the character in question is selfish or foolish or judgmental, or in this case, kind of a jerk. Like I said, I don't really like this interpretation because it messes with our sense of order. When you screw up, you repent first, then you receive forgiveness, and then you move on. That's the classic way forgiveness is supposed to work, but not here. Not in this story. In fact, when the son gets back home and starts out with the speech that he's rehearsed, he barely gets into it before his father interrupts him. As St. Luke writes, but while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but has been found. And they began to celebrate. I mean, the son barely gets into a sham repentance. Doesn't even get to the treat me like a hired hand part, because the father is smothering him in a bear hug and ordering the servants to bring him a robe and a shoes and a ring, the marks of an heir, and ordering a banquet and calling for a party. Why? Because he doesn't care if the son is sincere or not, genuinely repentant or not. He is just so glad to have him back. I'd still like to think the son is sincere. I really would. But maybe that's because I want to think I'm sincere. You know what I mean? I'd like to think that I always learn from my mistakes, that when I hurt someone, I always apologize, that when I do apologize, I really mean it, that finally, I am always eager to amend my ways and each and every day get a little bit better. But I know that's not true. I mean, sometimes I'm sincere, and sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I learn, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm really sorry for the mistakes I make, and I'm truly repentant. And sometimes I'm just bummed I got caught. And maybe that is the point. God doesn't really care in the end. Oh, of course God cares in the sense that God hopes that we learn and love each other better and improve over time, of course. But whether we do or not is finally not the issue. The issue is that God loves us so much, God doesn't wait for our confession to forgive us. God doesn't wait for us to come to our senses to love us. God doesn't wait for our sincere repentance to redeem us. God just comes after us, running toward us pell-mell like that desperate. Crazy in love, just glad to have him back, Father. Why? Because forgiveness ultimately isn't about deserving. In the end, you see, this story isn't nearly as much about a reckless, even wasteful and extravagant son as it is about a reckless, even wasteless and extravagant God. A God who has so much forgiveness to grant that God dishes it out with abandon. So much grace to offer that God pours it out, whether we deserve it or not. So much love to share that God simply can't hold back, but lavishes it upon us recklessly until it's just plain hard to believe. Until that is, we watch Jesus, the teller of this story, go all the way to Jerusalem and the cross to show us just how serious God is about loving us, accepting us, forgiving us, just as we are. So here's the thing. I have no idea where you may be this morning. Maybe you're sincere in your confession of faith and delighted to be here. Or maybe you're not and are here out of a sense of duty or obligation. Maybe your faith right now is transparent and strong, or maybe you don't know what to believe and are having a hard time faking it. Or maybe you're somewhere in between. The thing is, whatever you're feeling right now matters, of course, but maybe not as much as we think. At least not as much as what matters is that God just plain loves you and accepts you as you are, right here, right now. It is a prodigal God that we worship, you see. A God who loves us so extravagantly, so recklessly, so wastefully, that God will simply not give up on us, not let us go, not turn away from us, ever. Whether we deserve it or not. Thanks be to God. Amen.